So, we're going to be looking at Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 to 14, and we're looking at justified by faith, or another way of putting it, finish the way you start. Hold on, let's get that organized, that's better. So, in 1859, some of you may or may not remember, the famous tightrope walker Charles Blondin travelled to Niagara Falls. He stretched a 3-inch, that's 9 centimetres, wire over the gorge. There, suspended on this wire, he walked 1,100 feet, that's 355 metres, from one side to the other. He did this in a number of times, many times, blindfolded, my goodness me, brave, pushing a wheelbarrow, wouldn't see me doing that, sitting down midway while he cooked and ate an omelette, standing on a chair with only one chair leg on the rope. Can you imagine that? Niagara Falls. My rabbit, look at Patricia, she's thinking, I could do that. But that's not all. He also carried a man on his back over the tightrope. Can you put a picture up for me, please, Tim? And there he is. And that's, just in case you don't believe me, this is all true story. Now, this must be one of the best examples of trust. Trust ever placed by one human to another. It's either brave or completely stupid. Blondin carried his manager, that's Harry Colcourt, on his back from one side of the falls to the other. What, I mean, would you do that, Alistair? Can you imagine you on my back or something like that? We'd just go the other over Niagara Falls? No. They wouldn't pay me all the money in the world. I would ever do that. It must be very, very scary. Imagine if halfway across then, the manager said to Blondin, look, I appreciate that you've taken me this far, but I really don't trust you anymore. I think I'll do the rest myself, thank you. Let me down and I'll take it from here. Can you imagine he'd be a goner from that point of all? Because he couldn't do it. Only Blondin could actually do that. Okay, Tim, you may take the picture down. Thank you. Now, it sounds ridiculous, but that is the very situation that Paul addresses in this passage. This is possibly one of the greatest errors about the Christian life. I hope you're clear that you're accepted by God based only on Jesus and nothing else. On Jesus and nothing else. Once we're Christians, how do we grow? How do we develop? How do we get the rest of the way in our Christian life? Having been justified, declared righteous before God, how are we sanctified? In other words, made holy. Now, I read about a pastor who went to see a famous chef recently, and someone asked him a question about what it was like to be on TV and to have published many, many books that are read by millions and millions of people. He said that it's frustrating. Why? Because all these people are watching his TV show and reading his books, and they're still not eating well. They're carrying on as they normally do. Fish and chips, steak and chips. They're still eating rubbish food. That's not healthy. All these people are hearing his message. They're hearing about good eating, well eating, healthy eating. But they're not changing. They're just carrying on their diet because they like it. And the pastor leaned to his wife and said, I know how he feels. See, I'm speaking. I know Alistair speaks and Tim speaks, a few of us speak. I wonder how many of you actually are listening. How many of you are actually listening to God's word? Or are you just listening and then going out of the door and forget it, let's just carry on as normal, it doesn't affect me. But that's how that chef felt. People don't always listen. That's the problem. We know what it takes to become a Christian, but we're not always growing as much as we would like to. We need to know not just how to begin the Christian life, but how to change. Have you changed being a Christian, or are you just the same you were many years ago when you accepted him as your Lord and Savior? Have you grown? Have you grown? Have you developed? Do you love him more? Do you love him less? Are you more enthusiastic for the Lord, or are you less enthusiastic? We need to keep growing. We need to keep going and going. So let's walk through this passage. We're going to see three things in this passage. Firstly, that the entire Christian life is based on faith, not on performance. Secondly, this is the way it's always been. And thirdly, that there could be no other way. So firstly, the entire Christian life is based on faith and not on performance. What Paul identifies here is actually one of the greatest issues we have to face. He's talking about when the Galatians first heard the gospel and became believers. The power of the Holy Spirit was clearly at work in their lives. The Bible clearly teaches that when we become Christians at conversion, the Holy Spirit is poured into our hearts. And those who are genuine Christians, born again, have the Spirit living within them. So here's Paul's question. How did you become a Christian and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit? The answer that most believers would say is, I became a Christian and received the Spirit because I heard the gospel message with faith. The gospel is the good news. That's what it means. Gospel, good news. That Jesus Christ has made a way for us to be accepted by God through his death and his resurrection. To use the tightrope story, you became a Christian not by thinking you could cross over that gap by yourself, but by placing your trust in Christ to do what you couldn't do for yourself. Did the Galatians receive the Holy Spirit because they were circumcised or kept the works of the law? No. The Holy Spirit never takes up residence in our lives because we've cleaned ourselves up, because we're good enough. We're never good enough. Through Christ's sacrifice, his blood, and God's forgiveness through Christ, that we have salvation, we have life eternal. You see, the Holy Spirit entered our lives when we heard, and when we received the gospel message by faith. It's by faith you are saved. We are not saved by doing. Well, how do I know this? Well, Paul says in Galatians, we're saved by hearing. We don't become Christians by doing anything to earn God's acceptance. We become Christians when we hear the gospel preached, and then we place our faith in Christ. No matter how many good works you do, unless you believe and put your faith in Christ, it means nothing. I know it sounds very harsh, because good works are good things. But the Bible is telling us that we become Christians by placing our faith in Christ, not just good works. Given this, Paul is saying, continue in the Christian life the same way you started, by grace. Not performance. Anything else would be ridiculous. It would be foolish to start one way and then finish another. Paul says we are saved by the Spirit and faith. And then we progress in exactly the same way. We progress by the Spirit working in our lives. And there's the good works coming out. The Spirit guides us and leads us. That's why I said to you, have you grown? Have you allowed the Spirit to grow in you? Are you more keen or are you less keen on being a Christian? There could be some confusion here, so let me clarify. Paul is not saying that we should sit and do absolutely nothing while we wait for God to change us. The issue here is how we're going to change. How are we going to change? And Paul says that the power to change doesn't come from ourselves. It comes from the Spirit. It still takes effort, but it's grace-driven effort. It comes from the Spirit. How do we grow spiritually? Through the Spirit, through the Word of God, through our relationship and our love and our walk with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that's the principle that we have to take hold of. You continue the Christian life the same way that you started it, by grace, through faith, and the power of the Holy Spirit. We grow by grace. And grace is something that we don't deserve, but something that's been given. Paul also shows us, and secondly, this is the way it's always been. It's never changed. The gospel's never changed. This gets to the heart of one of the biggest mistakes we make when we are reading the Bible. It's one of the reasons we have the wrong idea about how to grow in the Christian life. If you ask most people what the Bible is about, they'll tell you it's about how to live a good, moral life. It's about how to be a good person. If you ask about the stories of the Bible, many will tell you they are stories that show you how to be a good person. The Bible becomes a how-to book that provides examples of people we should try to be like. There's a problem with this approach, though. You see that in this passage, as it relates to Abraham, who is the father of the Jewish people, and to whom many of the most important promises were made, Paul writes, just as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. This is so important. When we look at Abraham's life, what should we learn from it? We could focus on Abraham as an example of good works. We should be like him. He picked up and moved when God told him to. He was obedient. He was ready to give up his son when God asked him to. Again, obedient. Was Abraham saved because of his good works? Because he did what he's supposed to do? Is that the lesson we're supposed to take away from this life? It's all about good works. No. Paul was saved exactly the same way that we were saved. He was saved by grace through faith. And through faith, it was counted righteousness before God. That's what happened to Abraham. Paul said Abraham was not saved by his good works, even though he did some very good things. He was saved when, by grace, he trusted God. Simple. Trusting God. Faith. I mean, coming to Jesus is the greatest thing we could ever come to. It's quite an easy thing to do. But living the life is the hard bit. The easy bit, yes, Lord, come to my life. Yes, I want to be a Christian. And then living it. Ooh, that's a bit tricky. It takes a little bit more work, if I may put it that way. Now, this faith was counted to him as righteousness. Paul is saying that Abraham was saved exactly the same way that we were, by God's grace and not by his own righteousness. There are not two ways to get to God. There's only one way, and it's through faith and not through good works. I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. Good works is not a bad thing, it's a good thing, but it won't get you to Christ. It won't get you to heaven. It won't get you to forgiveness. It's great. Carry on. It's faith in Christ. The Bible's very clear. Talks about in this book, in this passage, crystal clear. It's by faith we are saved, not by good works. There's one more thing we need to see in this passage if we're going to get the message, and that is my third point. There could be no other way. There could be no other way. And that's why it's so important to get this through to our heads. If we try to live the Christian life by our own strength, we'll only end up very disappointed. We'll never measure up. We're never good enough, you know, when it comes to God's standard. There's no way we can live on our own strength and succeed. We fail time and time again when we try to do it our way. I cannot live this Christian life on my own strength. I need God's strength and the Holy Spirit to help me. If you're like me, you're sometimes frustrated by the lack of progress that you see in your own life. Do you ever feel disappointed? I do. Do you ever find yourselves not living up to your own expectations? I do. I'm always thinking I'm never good enough. Do you ever get frustrated with your lack of growth? You feel you haven't really made any progress since you became a Christian. Life is just the same. You carry on the same. You do the same things. But there is no growth, no real love for the Lord and to serve him. I do. As Tom Schreiner says, Focusing on our sinfulness could depress us and discourage us. But God does not intend for us to live with a constant feeling of failure and guilt. Our sins should drive us to the cross of Christ, where the full payment was made for our sins. God's love, therefore, becomes very precious in the way we think and feel in our everyday lives. We acknowledge our sins daily, but we cling to the cross of Christ as the means by which we are forgiven. Hence, when Satan accuses us, we remind ourselves that we are free from all guilt and blame, not because we are so good, but because God is so loving and God is so forgiving. We continue in the Christian life the way we started, by grace, not by performance. If we try to live according to our own strength, it will only lead to disappointment. We need to live the rest of our Christian lives the way we started, through continual trust and dependence in the Holy Spirit, and continual focus on the cross as we live, not to please ourselves, not to please others, but to please Him. And that's all I've got to say. So let's pray. Dear Lord, you are perfectly faithful in everything you do. You show your faithfulness to us in caring for us and providing for our needs. Please forgive us for the times we question you, grumble about our circumstances, or even turn our backs on you. We want to declare your faithfulness to those around us so they will put their faith and trust in you. Amen. Right, I'll hand you back to Ali. Thank you.